Lux presents Hollywood. The Lux Radio Theater brings you Jimmy Stewart and Joan Blondell in Destry Rides Again. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight we're happy to announce, as regular producer of the Lux Radio Theater, the appointment of Mr. William Keeley, who has been our guest producer several times in weeks past. Prior to 3 years of active service as colonel in the Army Air Corps, Mr. Keeley directed and produced such screen hits as The Fighting 69th, Each Dawn I Die, George Washington Slept Here, The Man Who Came to Dinner, and a score of other stage and screen successes. We are happy to add his talent, experience, and producing skill to our regular Monday evening broadcast. Mr. William Keeley.
Greetings from Hollywood, ladies and gentlemen. And I'd like to say first how happy I am to be able to be with you in this theater every Monday night. It so happens that this week is the 25th anniversary of radio. And celebrating that event, we welcome back to the airways and to the Lux Radio Theater a gentleman we've missed for almost 5 years, Jimmy Stewart. He appears in one of his favorite roles, as the soft-spoken, gentlemanly guardian of the law in Universal's Western melodrama, Destry Rides Again. Co-starred with Jimmy is another favorite of this theater, Joan Blondell, for whom I've always felt a warm regard, since Joan acted in the very first play that I produced on Broadway. Our story tonight takes us to the early West, those halcyon boomtown years when life was lived from day to day and gold slipped easily through the fingers, when a fine-tooth comb cost $7 and a sewing needle twice that much, while a cake of soap, if you could get it, was worth its weight in gold dust. So if the belles of the early West were proud of their complexions, it's a credit to the laws of chance. Nowadays, I'm sure that Western beauties by the thousands, just like so many lovely women everywhere, attribute their smooth complexions to Lux toilet soap. And if Destry's descendants ever ride again, I trust it will be to the corner store for a cake of Lux. The curtain rises on our first act, starring Jimmy Stewart as Tom Destry and Joan Blondell as Frenchie. It lies on the prairie like a glittering jewel, the tranquil little town of Bottleneck. Here the honest, God-fearing cattleman tends his lowing herd, and after a day of honest toil, repairs to Johnny Kent's tavern for a friendly glass of ginger beer and a round or two of checkers. Yes, all is peaceful and serene on this typical Bottleneck evening.
Dressing room.
Seeking sanctuary? That's quite a brawl.
A convenient brawl.
Mm-hmm.
Bud's been just started it, so no one here to shop upstairs.
Oh, I see.
Hey, Clara!
Yes, ma'am?
Stay where you are. I'll change later.
Yes, ma'am.
Did Kent come down with you, Frenchie?
He's still upstairs doing a little arithmetic.
Arithmetic?
Yeah, he owns Claggett's Ranch now.
Well, that gives him a solid strip of land right across the valley.
Right, straight across. And from now on, every time the cattlemen drive their heads across the valley, it's going to cost 25 cents a head.
Sounds reasonable to me. That's what I like about Johnny Kent. He's not greedy.
No, all he wants is everything.
Well, now, let's see. 400,000 steers at 25 cents
a head.
Don't
knock your brains out, Mayor. Kent will figure it out.
I trust he'll also figure out a way of removing the body of the unfortunate Mr. Claggett.
Claggett's not dead. He's only mad.
What are you talking about?
Shut up and listen. They had a poker game up there. Claggett bet everything he owned, including his ranch. Naturally, he lost.
Naturally?
And when he started to yell he was framed, they threw him out.
And who was shot?
The sheriff.
Sheriff Watson?
Claggett went running to Watson. Watson accused Kent. And, well, the boys resented him.
He was a fine man, the sheriff. Fine man.
Well, start thinking about a new appointment.
Him, I've got just the right man in mind. If he happens to be sober enough to keep on his feet, I'll...
Oh.
Why, Wash Dimsdale, of course.
The town drunk? Are you out of your... Oh, I see what you mean, Mayor. I see what you mean.
Quiet! Quiet, everybody! Will you shut up? Okay, now. Johnny Kent here has got something to say.
Having a good time, everybody? Well, that's what I like to see in my place. Folks, we got some important news from Mayor Slade.
Fellow citizens, our esteemed Sheriff Watson has suddenly been called out of town on urgent business. He'll be gone permanent. Therefore, I hereby appoint as our new sheriff that paragon of courage, the pride of our community, Mr. Washington Dimsdale.
All right, somebody get him up here.
There he is, Johnny, under the table.
He's coming, Johnny. Here comes the new sheriff.
Whatever become Oh, hello, Fishy. What are you cheering for?
You, Wash. You're the new sheriff.
Hooray for the new sheriff. What?
That's right, Wash. Congratulations.
Drink to the house, everybody. And a fresh bottle for the new sheriff.
Then, no, I'm not going to drink. No, sir. A man has got to choose between the bottle and the badge. You hear that, you pack of no-good scum? Listen to me. There's going to be law and order in Bottleneck, or I'm putting the whole town in jail.
And if you need any help, I'll be your deputy.
No, I wouldn't have you. I want a deputy like I used to be.
What? When were you a deputy?
When was I a... Why, when Tom Destry was sheriff, that's when. You think you're tough and ornery. You ain't nothing like there was when Destry was my boss.
But Destry's been dead for 5 years, Wash.
Maybe so, but young Tom ain't dead. And his daddy brought him up to be the toughest, fightingest man that ever growed up in the West. I'm sending for him right now. And when he gets here, Destry will ride again.
Hey, Five, how many times do I have to tell you? Take it easy on those spots.
Pull your head in.
Just wait till we get to Bottleneck, that's all.
Jack, please. Trip will be over soon. I don't mind a bum trip.
Well, I do. And if he don't take it
Mr.
easy...
Mr. Destry.
Yes, ma'am.
Please don't mind my brother, Mr. Destry. He's always threatening to do something.
I had a friend once, name of Stubbs. He's sort of like you, Mr. Tindall.
Huh?
He's always threatening to fill somebody full of holes.
Well?
Well, folks say now that Stubbs is holding up one of the prettiest tombstones in the cemetery.
Very funny. This gun here ain't no ornament, and I'm pretty good with it.
Mm-hmm. So was my friend Stubbs.
Meaning what?
Well, just meaning that you got to be careful who you meet up with.
For a deputy sheriff, mister, you got some mighty peculiar ideas.
But they do make sense, Jack.
You know, maybe you should take up a hobby, Mr. Tindall, like me. See, here, it's wood carving. You'd be surprised the genuine rage you can work off just by whittling away on a little piece of wood.
Wait a minute. Are you sure your name's Destry?
Nah, folks has always asked me that.
Your father was a wonderful man, Mr. Destry.
Yes, he was. I guess I'm different.
I'll say you're different.
Yeah, my father got shot in the back. There are a lot of things I do, Mr. Tindall, just to avoid getting shot in the back.
It's coming! It's coming! The stagecoach is coming!
Wash, if he really coming, is Destry really coming?
Of course he is! He's my new deputy!
Jiminy, Wash, you sure look like a real sheriff!
Oh, thank you, son! Lily Bell!
What do you want,
Wash? The coaches are coming, yeah. You got his room ready?
Sure, I got it ready.
Good! Get ready, everybody! Here he comes! Destry's a coming to Bottleneck!
All right, driver, I warned you. I said, wait till we get to Bottleneck.
Yeah, and what are you going to do about it?
Just this. Look out, he's pulling a gun.
Duck, stranger, he's gone.
Gonna what?
Did you see that? You see that? Knocks him down, then shoots the gun right out in his hand.
That'll teach you to drive a little slower.
Sure, mister. Sure.
Well, folks, that's just a small sample of what you're going to get from now on. Tom Destry. Welcome to Bottleneck, Tom. I'm Wash.
Sorry, partner. My name's Tindall.
You ain't Destry?
He's still in the coach. You can come out now.
Tom!
Oh, hello, Wash. You haven't changed a bit.
Well, get out of there, Tom.
I'll be right with you, Wash, as soon as I help the lady here.
Now, if you'll just hold my birdcage, Mr. Destry. Oh, and my parasol.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, no. Oh,
look at him, a canary bird.
A parasol. Tom, will you put down that darned bird?
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Destry.
Oh, not at all, ma'am.
Well, you must be Mrs. Destry. How do you do?
Wrong again.
I'm Janice Tyndall. Oh, well, you'll be needing rooms, too. Come on, I'll show you across. Oh, thank you, but I... And I you just... come on, too, Mr. Destry. You'll be wanting a cup of tea or something.
Tea? Are you crazy? Come on, John, we're getting over to the saloon. Now, look here, Tom. You're making an impression on this town that's got to be eradicated right now.
Well, don't you think first impressions are darn fool things to jump at, though?
Around here, you got to jump first or you don't live long.
You know, what you're saying reminds me of a friend of mine who woke up in the middle of the night and he saw a great big hand coming at him.
A hand?
Yeah. So he got out his gun and he aimed and he shot a hole right through his own foot.
No.
Yeah. Now, he shouldn't have gone by that first impression, should he?
Well, he was just a darn fool. He was... Oh, come on in. This here's the saloon. Shut up, everybody. Pay attention. Well, here he is, folks. I want you all to meet my new deputy, Thomas Jefferson Destry.
Hello. Hello, everybody.
Destry, my name's Kent.
Howdy.
And this is Piggy Slade, our mayor. And, Frenchie. Frenchie.
Coming.
Here's a girl you got to meet, Mr. Destry. Frenchie. Meet the new deputy.
A deputy or a beanpole? Say, Mr. Destry, how's the weather up there?
Yeah. Everybody says that.
Come on, everybody. Let's drink to the new deputy.
Oh, Destry, I think you and me ought to have an understanding right off.
Well, good. I'm all for folks understanding each other.
So I'll stop at telling you that I've got a hobby.
You have? Well, mine's carving napkin rings. What's your hobby?
Collecting guns. Deputy sheriff's guns. Whenever I meet one, I ask him for his guns. I ask him real nice.
Well, I'm afraid this here's one time you're going to be disappointed.
You mean I have to take him from you?
If you can.
If I...
Now, hold on. Don't get excited. I'm just trying to tell you I ain't got any guns. See here?
Just what kind of a deputy are you?
If I'd had a gun on me, why, one of us might have got hurt. And it might have been me. And I wouldn't have liked that. Would I?
Oh, look at me, fellas. I'm a canary. Tweet, tweet.
My goodness, where's my parasol?
Yeah. I'll cut it out. If anybody starts picking on you, Mr. Destry, just you come to Uncle.
I'll remember that, Mr. Kent.
Good. What do you have to drink?
How about a nice glass of milk?
Milk? Yeah. I think I will. I have a nice glass of milk.
Here's a present for you, Mr. Destry.
A bucket of water and a mop.
Sure. He wants to clean up bottleneck, doesn't he? Your yard deputy, and don't forget the corners.
So this is our office, huh, Wash?
Yeah, this is it. Oh, Tom.
What's the matter?
Tom Destry's boy, laughing stock of the town.
Well, looks bad, huh?
I told your landlady you won't be needing that room after all. You're leaving on the next coach.
Oh, I sort of like it here, Wash.
How are you going to face anybody after what you took from Kent and from Frenchie?
Well, what do you expect me to do?
I expect you to be like your pa, to roar in blasting behind your shooting irons. What happened? You didn't have any. Why?
Well, I don't believe in them. Wash, open my bag there.
Huh?
Yeah, go on, open it. You'll find two guns in there.
You mean you... Tom! here, boy, step them on.
No. My pa had these on, Wash, the day he got shot in the back. They didn't seem to do him much good then, did they?
Well...
That's one reason I don't believe in them.
What incarnation do you believe in?
Law and order.
Without guns?
Without them.
Well, if that don't beat all get out. Oh, Tom, don't you see? The only reason they made me sheriff was to have somebody they could kick around. But I was aiming to fool them, to do things right. That's why I sent for you. Instead, you fooled me.
Oh, you will fool them, Wash. We'll fool them together. Don't you see? When you shoot it out with them, somehow or other, they get to look like heroes. But if you put them behind bars, then they look little and cheap. That's the way they ought to look. It serves as a warning to the rest of them.
Oh, go on home, Tom, and I'll go back to being the town drunk. That's all I'm good for.
Now, you're not going back to being the town drunk, and I'm going to stay here and do this job I come for. My pa did it the old way, I'm going to do it the new way. If I don't prove to you that I'm right, I'll get out of town quick enough. First, you got to give me a chance.
No. Oh.
Now, come on, Wash.
No,
no. Give me a chance. Now, come on. Swear me in now, Wash. Go ahead.
Oh. Oh, all right. There's your right hand. You, Thomas Jefferson, just swear to uphold the law and do your duty and everything else that goes with it.
I do, I do. That's
all right,
right.
Then,
I do.
Here's your badge. Just fine. Don't let anybody see you wearing it. No guns.
Where are you going?
I'm taking a walk. I'll probably get drunk.
Now, wait a minute. I think I'll go along.
You just get in trouble, Tom. I'm warning you.
Right, that's the main street?
Yeah. Nice hardware store over there.
Yeah.
Got some mighty fine Bowie knives in stock. Bowie knives, an elegant weapon.
Yeah, Wash, no.
No, was afraid you wouldn't be interested. No. Oh, Tom. Look here. You see that hitching post soaked through and through with blood of Sawtooth McGee? He objected to a petticoat his neighbor's wife was wearing, and they fit to a draw, both buried in the same grave.
Sawtooth and the petticoat, huh?
Sawtooth and the neighbor.
Oh.
Also, four innocent bystanders. Now, you got to listen to reason, Tom, or get out of town.
You know, I had a friend once who used to collect postage stamps. And he always says one good thing about a postage stamp, it always sticks to one thing till it gets there. Yeah, I'm sort of like that.
Hey, Wash, wait a minute. I've been looking all over for you.
Hey, what is it?
It's your crate, Wash. Come to the express office day before yesterday for Sheriff Watson.
Well, what's in it? It
appears to be rabbits.
Yeah, and I got to get them off my hands. When that crate come, there was only two of them. Now look.
Well, rabbits is like that.
Say, where did Sheriff Watson go?
I don't know nothing about nothing.
Well, you better start learning about rabbits, because I just give you these. Now get it.
Thanks, Sheriff. I'll get it.
Run, get out of here.
Hey, hold on there. You fellas getting a little playful, ain't you?
Yeah, we're full of liquor and full of fight. Hold my horse here, creepy.
Now, Bugsy, he didn't mean nothing by that. Don't start no trouble.
Trouble? Why, we just want to see the new deputy dance. Come on, Destry, dance. Yeah. I said dance.
Now, just hold on a minute now. Hold on. Say, those look like pretty good guns there, Bugsy. Mind if I heft them?
I guess you can't hurt yourself, sonny, just hefting them.
That's got a pretty nice weight to them. You know, aside from being pretty ornaments, a fella can have a whole lot of harmless amusement out of these here toys. Take, for instance, them knobs down on top of that sign down the street there.
Huh? Where?
Right down the block there, you see. Now, watch him. Now you see him. Now you don't. Yes, sir. Pretty nice weight to those guns. All right.
Tom, well, we ain't seen shooting like that.
Now, the next time any of you fellas start any of this here promiscuous shooting around the street, you're going to land in jail, you understand?
Oh, but, yeah. Deputy, we were just having a little fun.
All right, just so you understand.
All right.
Come on, Ward.
I can't believe my eyes. And you walking around here condemning the use of firearms.
Where did you say Sheriff Watson went to?
Well, I didn't say.
He certainly left your office in a mess. And those rabbits, he appears clean to forgot about the rabbits.
Well, what about them rabbits? It's easy to forget.
I still, there's something I can't quite understand.
You don't understand. Green snakes and pink elephants, them I can understand. But you've got to listen to me, Tom.
All right, Wash, go ahead.
As though I ain't been telling you. You got to behave like I expect you to behave. He's out of town, and when... Wait a minute. That's me.
Wash, you gotta help us. You gotta come to the ranch now.
Well, sure, boy, sure.
Well, say, you're Thomas Jefferson Destry, ain't you?
That's right.
Well, I'm Eli Whitney Claggett.
Well, glad to know you, Eli.
Gosh, I heard all about your pa in my life whenever we play Indians and sheriffs. I'm always your pa.
Well, you couldn't do better, son. Now, tell me, what's the matter?
Well, they come to take our ranch away, Johnny Kent and his gang. We've been holding them off so far, but we ain't got much ammunition left. Pa said for me to sneak into town and get the sheriff.
Good word, son. That murdering thief, I'll fill him so full of...
Hold on, Wash. Wait a minute. How come Kent's trying to take Claggett's ranch?
Because he won it from Claggett in a crooked poker game.
Oh, I see. Well, it seems like to me we're wasting time here. Come on, Sheriff. We got some work to do.
In just a minute, we'll bring you Act 2 of Destry Rides Again, starring James Stewart and Joan Blondell. And now here's Libby Collins, our Hollywood reporter, with news about the stars. Which star are we turning the spotlight on tonight, Libby?
A very famous and lovely one, Mr. Keeley, Merle Oberon.
Ah, there's glamour for you. I understand Merle Oberon's especially lovely in her new picture, Universal's This Love of Ours.
Oh, yes. She plays the romantic role of a French music hall entertainer who becomes a great lady. Speaking of glamour, Mr. Keeley, wait till you see Merle Oberon in some of the gowns she wears in the picture. There's a dusty pink evening gown embroidered all over with pink crystal beads.
Just the thing for a dark-haired beauty, I'd say.
Yes, Merle's famous for her perfect costumes. But lovely as she is, she has some very practical hints for women everywhere. Every woman, she says, is born with a certain amount of glamour. But it has to be developed, just as a diamond has to be polished to bring out the sparkle.
Lux girls know all about that, don't they, Libby?
They do, Mr. Kennedy. They've discovered what a wonderful difference it makes when you find the right complexion care. Merle Oberon spoke about that. Soft, smooth skin, she said, is so important. She told me active lather facials with Lux soap have always worked for her.
Won't you tell us, Libby, how Miss Oberon takes her Lux soap facials?
Well, here's exactly how she does it, Mr. Kennedy, in her own words. I cover my face generously with the Lux soap lather and work it well in. Then I rinse with warm water, splash on cold, and pat with a soft towel to dry. The Lux soap lather is so creamy, it feels like smoothing beauty in. I wouldn't trust my skin to any other care.
That's the way 9 out of 10 other lovely screen stars feel, too. They've found daily active lather facials really make skin softer, smoother. In recent tests of these beauty facials, actually 3 out of 4 complexions improved in a short time. This tip from Merle Oberon may help you win lovelier skin. Why not try it? Get some gentle white Lux toilet soap, Hollywood's own beauty soap, tomorrow. Mr. William Keeley now presents our second act.
Act 2 of Destry Rides Again, starring James Stewart as Tom Destry and Joan Blondell as Frenchie. Johnny Kent and his men have come to take over the Claggett Ranch, and they're doing it in the usual Kent manner. But behind the stout walls of the ranch house, Sam Claggett and his wife have managed thus far to hold their own.
Stop that shooting! You hear me, Kent? Stop that shooting!
Boys? Well, hello, Sheriff. And Mr. Destry.
Put down your guns in there, Claggett. I'm taking over here.
What? We got your gun in time.
And stay in the house. Kent, I said we was to have law and order around here.
Certainly. So do your duty and get those people out of my house.
Your house?
Maybe you better look at this paper.
I ain't interested in no documents. You mosey on out of here before I start blasting.
Mr. Kent, could I see that paper?
Certainly.
This signature here, is that Claggett's?
Well, you don't think I'd forge it, do
Come
you?
Come on, Walsh. Go inside and talk to Claggett.
Thunderation, Tom. Who are you trying to protect around here?
Claggett, it's like I told your husband just now.
Deputy or no deputy, we ain't giving up our ranch.
No, but your husband signed this paper, ma'am, and it gives Kent a perfect legal right just to the property. Doesn't it, Wash?
Sure it does, the way we're operating now.
I told you about that poker game. I was winning when that Frenchy girl spilled a pot of coffee in my lap. While I was cleaning it off, they switched cards on me.
I don't doubt that a bit, but it's your word against theirs.
Fine goes on when the law takes the side of cheat.
No, no, I'm sorry, Mrs. Claggett, but you folks stick around town and we'll figure some way to get your ranch back for you.
That's what Sheriff Watson said the night he disappeared.
Watson couldn't do nothing about it. Everybody knows that he left town sudden-like.
Yeah, I'll bet he did. I bet he did.
Huh?
Nothing, nothing. You help these folks get together, Ward. I'll go and see Kent.
All right. What about it, Destry?
Well, the ranch is yours.
Well, good. I can see you and me are going to get along fine.
Well, we have to enforce the law, don't we?
You sure do. We sure do. You hear him, fellas? And I thought he was dumb.
I'm coming. I'm coming. Yes, sir? My goodness, if it ain't the law.
Would you mind, Miss Frenchy, I'd appreciate seeing her in some official business, please.
Yes, sir. Miss Frenchy?
Yeah, what is it?
Miss Frenchy, that tall drink of water's here on fishy business.
Oh, yes. Well, you can tell him from me.
Hold on. I just come over to apologize.
Apologize for what?
For not realizing who's the real boss in Bottleneck.
McCarthy, Clara.
Yes, sir.
Don't let me interfere with your dinner, miss.
It's breakfast.
Does he get some, too, miss?
I don't mind if I do join you in a cup.
So you found out what was good for yourself, huh?
Well, I sort of figure I'd better use a little horse sense. Of course, I could have come over here barging in with all sorts of rumors about you.
I'm supposed to say what rumors?
You're supposed to say what rumors. And if you did say what rumors, I'd say, well, there's a lot of talk that you do more than sing down at Kent's Saloon. Take part in crooked poker games, cheating folks out of their ranch.
Who said that?
Just a rumor. You wouldn't have anything to do with anything like that.
Oh, here's your coffee.
I'd better be careful with this coffee, too. I wouldn't like to have it spilt in my lap, would I?
Get out. Get out, do you hear?
Okay,
get out!
All right, hold your fire now. Hold your fire. I'll go. Just put that lamp down, will you? That's it. Fine. There's just one more thing. You know, I've seen hundreds like you all the way from Jacksonville to Sacramento. You all think easy pickings will go last forever.
You're heading for trouble, Mr. Destry. I'll do as I like around this town, and anyone who gets in my way is taken care of.
Like they took care of Sheriff Watson.
Yeah, just like they...
Uh-huh, that's what I thought, yeah.
I don't know what you're talking about. You better get out of this town before it's too late.
Oh, come on now. I don't think you're half as bad as you make out to be.
Never mind what I am.
I don't know. I bet you got kind of a nice face underneath all that paint. Look, I'll show you what I mean.
Take your hand off me.
Sure. Wipe it off someday and have a good look. It's a wonderful face. Figure out how you can live up to it. So long.
Clara!
Yes, sir?
Bring me a mirror. And a towel.
Yes, ma'am. That's the most peculiar acting man I ever did see. He's got personality. Ooh, he sure has.
Sam, worry one bit, Miss Claggett. You can stay here as long as you want.
Oh, I sure appreciate it, Lily Bell.
Still and all, if we could have kept on shooting this afternoon instead of sending for them.
Now, Meg, they had the law on their side like we said.
Law. I've got something to say about that.
Oh, Jack, please. It's none of your affair.
It is my affair, Janice. That brat Kent's charging me 2 bits for every head of cattle going through this valley.
It's time decent people joined up and got rid of them cutthroats.
Well, you'd better start in with this watery-eyed sheriff here and that gun-shy, lady-fingered deputy of his. Come on in, Destry. I saw you standing there.
I wouldn't have said that, Tindall.
Don't you turn your back on me.
Oh, Jack, please.
You heard me, Destry. And I ain't paying 1 cent to move my cattle. What do you aim to do?
At present, nothing.
That's what I thought. But I'll do something if I have to take the law in my own hands.
Nobody's going to set themselves up above the law around here, you understand? I've got something to say to you. I think maybe I could illustrate it better if I told you a story. I used to have a friend...
Oh, another one, Tom?
Yeah, another one. He was an opera singer. But he went into the cement business. And one day he fell into the cement. And now instead of singing in the new opera house in St. Louis, he's just part of the cornerstone. He should have stuck to his trade. You better stick to yours.
Tom, where are you going?
I'm just going up to my room. Watch, get time ready for supper.
Tom, how can you talk of eating at a time like this?
Because I'm hungry. Come on.
Yeah. Is your room open?
Step aside.
Oh. Oh, good evening.
Well, good evening.
Doubtlessly, you are wondering what I am doing in your room. Well, you may believe this or not, but I am waiting for a stagecoach.
Now, wait a minute. Aren't you Lily Bell's husband?
Sure, Tom. That's Dish Callahan.
Callahan. I am a Stavrogin of Bardashev.
Everybody calls him Callahan, Tom. It's easier to say.
I see. Well, I don't mind who you are, but what are your legs doing in my pants?
Oh, I find this all very awkward.
Oh, he loses his pants regular, Tom. They win him off in him at poker. Then Lily Bell locks him up in his room.
Nah, this time I outsmart Lily Bell. I climb through the window, across the roof, and zuff, I find some pants.
Yeah, but they're my pants, see? Come on, off with them now.
You mean now?
Now, yeah.
No, the whole world is against me.
Hey, wait a minute now. I might be able to make a deal with you. How well you know this country around here?
Like a field mouse. There isn't a twig, a tree, a bush that I...
Oh, that's good enough. That's good enough. No. The pants are yours if you do a little job for me.
Agreed. What can I lose? Only a job. Command me.
I want you to find something.
Ah, I am a weasel, a hawk. I have the memory of an elephant, the strength of...
Duration. He's not asking for a zoo.
No, only a bloodhound that can keep his mouth shut.
I shall be a bloodhound. Sniffing and silent. What's missing?
The body of Sheriff Watson.
Pardon me while I give you back your pants.
Tom, what What do you want to find Watson's body for?
Because you can't prove a murder without a corpse. And I think Callahan would make a pretty good second deputy.
A deputy?
Yeah.
Deputy Stavrogin, order me where you will, to Siberia.
Come on, then. We'll go down to Kent's saloon.
It's me, Princey. Open up.
Make it snappy, Johnny. I got a song coming up.
Look, did you have any callers at your house today?
Men, women, or children?
I don't feel like kidding, Princey. Did you or didn't you?
Who, for instance?
Despy, for instance.
Why not?
That's better. What was the conversation?
He came to apologize.
And that's all?
All he had time for. He was in a hurry to go, just like you are now.
Okay. But if I ever catch you stacking him on me, I'll personally put the lights out so I don't know you from anyone else in the game.
Get my dress, Clara.
My, he just ain't got no personality at all, is he?
All right, now, Callahan, you stay right here, just outside the saloon. Follow any of Kent's gang that come out.
I wish you'd tell me what you're up to, Tom.
All right, now, look. We can't find the missing body, can we? The next best thing is to have them find it for us.
Please, let's go home. You do as you're told. Wait a minute. Who's that?
There on the porch of the saloon.
Oh, it's Frenchie, pacing up and down on the porch. Well, here goes.
Hey, get over here, Callahan. We're waiting in the shadows.
Got a match, Deputy?
Oh, sure. Here you go.
Thanks.
What, you been arguing with somebody again?
How'd you know?
Well, I read a book once that said, women always look their best in the peace and quiet that follows a storm.
Very good, but it would have been much nicer if you thought it yourself.
As a matter of fact, it did.
You won't take my advice, will you?
But leaving town, no.
Hey, I got something for you. Here.
What's this, rabbit's foot?
Yeah, take it. And keep away from dark corners. See inside, maybe, huh? Got through my number now.
Yeah, sure. I'll be right in.
Wait a minute, Destry. See, no way you don't need guns.
You do?
Yeah. Why I can't get my cattle through. But I'm taking them through in spite of you, Kent, or anybody else.
Well, I'd think twice if I were you, Tyndall, before I started trespassing.
You're cutting in on Kent two or three different ways, aren't you?
Oh, I'm sorry you made me do that, Tyndall. I'm very sorry.
Oh, good evening, Mayor.
Evening, son. Frenchie sure sings a song, don't she?
Oh, she sure does. She certainly does. Say, I was kind of hoping I'd find you here, Mayor. I wanted to talk to you.
Privately, Mr. Destry?
Oh, no, not at all, Kent. Why don't you join us?
Thanks.
I'll tell you what was on my mind. It seems every time the sheriff or me asks a question, folks just shut up or walk away like I never heard it.
Well, they just don't cotton to sheriffs.
Well, you're probably right, yeah. Sheriff Watson wasn't very popular either, was he?
Meaning what?
Well, nothing special.
Hey, Frenchie, over here.
You like my number, Mr. Destry?
Oh, yeah, I like that.
Good. Then you can buy me a drink, huh?
Fine, yeah.
About what's on your mind, Destry? Watson left town.
Yeah, well, that's what I say. But we thought he might have left something behind, like a body, maybe.
This is a lively conversation when a lady wants a drink. Oh, come on, Deputy.
Wait a minute. I haven't settled with Destry yet for that very good favor he did me out at Claggett's Ranch. I called for some champagne. The best.
Well, in that case, you'd better stay right here, huh, Frenchie?
Jip, come here.
Yeah, Johnny?
Tell Eddie to ice up some champagne and send it over to the table.
Sure, boss.
Wait a minute. Then ride out to the place and see if it's gone.
Huh? If what's gone? Oh, you mean...
Yeah.
Well, if it is, then Destry's done it. And if he did, can I personally slap him in the mouth with my pistol?
Hit Destry?
Yeah.
You wouldn't want to hit a dead man, would you, Jip?
Hmm? Oh, I see what you mean.
Now get going.
Yeah, man, that fellow Johnny Candy reminded me of a friend of mine back in Kansas City. Drinks nothing but wine. Every time he came to town...
I had a friend in New Orleans like that, only he was crazy about clams. Every time he'd come to town, he'd rush to the nearest restaurant and order 100 clams. Oh, I'm sorry I interrupted.
Oh, that's all right. There isn't much point to my story. What with clams?
Yeah, this particular time they didn't have any clams. So they brought him oysters, and he just about tore the place down. He was so mad.
What's the point of that?
Well, the point is he found a pearl in one of them, that big.
That's good.
No, it was bad. The oyster, I mean. Killed him.
Who got the pearl?
I did.
Well, here it is, Destry. Champagne.
Well, if we're going to make an evening of it, how about you and me having a dance, Frenchie? What about it, Kent? Okay.
Sure, go right ahead.
Just won't listen to me, will you? Well, I'm not going to warn you again.
That's all right. I still have your rabbit's foot.
You're going to need it. Say, isn't that our fearless sheriff rushing
on? Oh, yes. Yeah, I believe it is.
Tom! Tom! Tom, come here, quick!
Sorry, Frenchie.
I'm sorry, too, Tom. Always in one.
Oh, that's fine, Wash. Fine. Now you get back to the jail with Callahan. I'll handle things here.
Sure, Tom, sure. Yee-hoo!
Stop the music here, Bart. All right, hold it down, will you? Stop the music here, just a second. Folks, sorry to interrupt you here, but I got a little official business. Hold on now. Wash and I ain't going to ask any more questions about Sheriff Watson because Wash just found the answer. And one more thing. All relatives and friends of Jip Hiller are hereby notified that he's in the jailhouse charged with murder. That's all. Hey, wait a minute. My brother didn't have nothing to do with that murder. Now, don't get excited, Bugsy. Jip's not hanged yet.
And he's not going to be. You get over there and turn him loose.
I'm afraid I can't do that, Kent. Not until after a trial. Maybe by then he'll explain what he was doing just now when Callahan and the sheriff found him with Watson's body.
Good work, son. Good work. And just to make sure there won't be no miscarriage of justice as Chief Magistrate of Bottleneck, I'm going to try this here case myself.
Oh. You'll try it yourself. Oh, I see what you mean.
So do I. Sorry I got so upset.
How about finishing our dance, Deputy?
No, thanks, Frenchie. I believe I've danced to Kent's tunes too long. Good night.
We pause now for station identification. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
In a minute, we'll bring you the third act of Destry Rides Again, starring James Stewart and Joan Blondell. Meanwhile, I'd like to introduce a rather unusual young woman. She's had years of acting experience, yet she's only 19. It's Miss Nancy Gates, soon to appear in the RKO radio picture, The Spanish Main. Tell us, Nancy, how old were you when you began your acting career?
Well, I was 12 when I appeared on a Dallas radio station. At 13, I was booked for a theater dancing and singing act.
And that brought you a movie contract.
It helped, Mr. Keeley. But actually, it was my picture in a Dallas paper that did the trick. I came to Hollywood with my mother in 1941 for a vacation.
And?
Well, RKO talent scouts had seen the photograph, and I was signed up 2 weeks later.
So the Hollywood vacation turned into a Hollywood career.
That's right. I've appeared in a number of RKO pictures. The Master Race and This Land Is Mine are two.
And you'll be appearing in many more, I'm sure. Don't you agree, John Kennedy?
I certainly do. If I may say so, it's easy to see why that newspaper picture got Miss Gates a Hollywood contract. And I'm sure if the women in our audience could see her, they'd be interested in her beauty care. Do you want to tell us about it, Miss Gates?
It's a very simple one, Mr. Kennedy. Active Lather Facials with Lux Soap. They're the real beauty soap. No wonder it's such a Hollywood favorite. Maureen O'Hara, the star of The Spanish Main, always has Lux Soap in her dressing room. She uses it every day. You know how gorgeous she is.
Thanks for telling us about that, Nancy Gates. In Hollywood, hundreds of stars and starlets find they can depend on gentle Lux toilet soap care. That's because Lux is a quality soap made only of the finest ingredients. If you haven't used it, why not begin tomorrow? You'll be delighted with Lux soap's satin smoothness, the rich, creamy lather it gives. You'll find it leaves your skin looking flower fresh, appealing, the way skin ought to look. Here's our producer, Mr. William Keeley, at the microphone.
Our curtain rises on Act 3 of Destry Rides Again, starring Jimmy Stewart as Tom Destry and Joan Blondell as Frenchie. Jip Hiller's in jail, charged with the murder of Sheriff Watson. But with Mayor Slade presiding over the forthcoming trial, justice in bottleneck still is just a joke. An hour ago, Tom Destry locked up another prisoner, Jack Tindall. And now Janice has rushed to the jailhouse.
Now, don't get all upset, Janice. I had to put him in jail.
But why? What did he do?
Well, he drove his cattle through Kent's property. That's trespassing.
I see. It's all right for murderers to go free, but trespassing...
No. Nobody's gone free yet.
Oh, Tom, I wish I could understand you.
Oh, but don't worry now. I think we got a chance. Good chance.
A chance for what?
Well, I can't say right now, but... Well, if you want to see Jack...
Oh, please.
He's right down this way.
Jack.
Hello, Janice. Well, I told you I was going to bring our cattle through, and I did. I didn't pay a penny. I ain't going to pay, and nobody's going to make me.
Jack, you're the most stubborn, ornery, mule-headed...
Self-opinionated. That's always a good word.
Oh, I give up. Talking to Jack's like talking to a stone wall.
Yeah, Jip Hiller won't talk, and your brother won't listen. You know, if he was reasonable and paid Kent the money for moving his cattle, he could turn right around and sue and get all the money back.
Sue Kent? With Slade as the judge? You must think I'm really tough.
All right. Forget it. Anyway, Janice, thanks for trying to help out. Jack will be here for quite some time, so...
It's here. I got it.
What is this, Callahan?
Look, it came.
The letter?
Yes, here, from Cheyenne.
Oh, thanks. Now, here's something you might like to read, Jack. From a friend of mine. The federal judge with a hankering to travel.
Huh?
Now maybe you can see why I want you to pay Kent. Slade won't be on the bench. And if you can just keep yourself from getting your fool head shot off until that federal judge gets here, I can get my convictions and you can get your money back.
See what you mean. Okay, I'll pay him. Here, I got a draft. Wells Fargo will cash it.
That's your job, Callahan. Then take the money to Kent and get a receipt.
Yes, Commander. I am a courier. A bolt of lightning, but silent as the night. Farewell.
You'd better wait for the draft, Mr. Callahan.
Oh? Here.
Now, then come right back. All right, Tindall. I'm turning you loose in your sister's custody. Wash, why don't you go home and get yourself some sleep? I'll handle things around the jail here.
Yeah, I guess I will, Tom. Just wish Callahan would come back.
Oh, it's all going to work out fine, Wash. Jip's going to tell us a lot as soon as he finds out that Slade isn't going to be on the bench.
It doesn't hardly seem possible, Tom. Who's that?
Deputy Stavrogin reporting, Excellency, with the receipt. See? Kent signed it himself.
Good work, Callahan.
Please, not Callahan.
Anything special going on in the saloon?
Very little. Mayor Slade is swearing in his jury. $200 each for now. $300 more when they set Jip Hiller free.
He's wasting Kent's cash. He could pack a jury for a lot less.
That's what I told him. I said, just wait till that federal judge gets here.
You what?
I said, just wait till that federal judge...
Oh. I presume you'll want the pants back with the badge?
Oh, it doesn't matter, Callahan. Doesn't matter now.
There won't be any trial now, Tom. Crooked or no. They'll be down here tearing this jail apart and turning Jip loose.
No, maybe not. Maybe not. Now, maybe for once we got him scared.
Tom.
Mr. Destry.
Oh, that's all right, Wash. It's only friends she's made.
Well, Mr. Destry, Miss Frenchie says she wants to see you right away. She says it's awful important.
All right, tell her I'll be right over.
Tom, you're walking into an ambush. They'll spot you out on that street and fill you full of lead.
I don't think so, Wash. Not yet. Now, you hold on the fort.
Don't worry none about me. I will.
Glad you decided to come, Tom.
Well, your maid said it was important.
It is.
Trouble?
No trouble. I'm leaving town tonight and wanted to see you before I left.
Well, pretty sudden, isn't it, Frenchie?
Well, I like that.
Could something have happened, you know, a bit of news or something?
You're so suspicious. I'm just tired of bottleneck, so I'm going back to New Orleans.
Yeah, I guess it will.
Or will Tyndall's sister get me off your mind?
Oh, I'd like to wish you good luck. Good luck and a nice trip.
You didn't answer my question.
I better get back to the job.
Tom, you ever been in New Orleans?
No, I haven't.
It's a wonderful town. You'd like it there. How about it?
Oh, Frenchy,
What's that?
Hey, that shooting's coming from the jailhouse.
Tom, no, you can't go out there.
Why not?
Well, Kent knows all about the federal judge. They'll kill you. They're getting gypped. Now, stay here, Tom. Stay here.
Oh, so it was your idea, huh? Yours and Kent's. Get me away from the jailhouse, and I was stupid enough to...
Tom. I
never hit a woman before in my life, but I guess you're not a woman.
Get it, Tom?
No, what?
Tom, did you get him?
Oh, well, if they were gone when I got here.
I fell asleep, Tom. Didn't hear till it was too late.
Oh, don't talk, Wash. Callahan's getting a doctor. Is it bad?
No, but it just makes me so doggone mad. Shot in the back.
That's the way they shot my paw. I didn't dare face him either.
Didn't give either of us a chance, did they?
No.
Oh. Plum took it out.
Hey, now listen, Wash. I'm going to the rooming house, and I'm coming back wearing those guns of my father's. You'd like that, wouldn't you, Wash? Wash. Oh, no.
Now, wait a minute, Destry. You can't do this alone.
Where's the man that murdered Ward? Where'd they go?
They're in the saloon. Kent's got it barricaded like a fort. Are these men here, Destry? Say the word and we'll all go with you.
All right, now hold on. As long as you're with me, there are two things I want. I want every freight wagon in town and a stick of dynamite. We can get a lot closer to the saloon and wagons, and when we do, the dynamite will open it up. All right, now let's get down
to
the corral.
Let me get through, Tom. Wait, Kent's got 30 men in there. You won't have a chance.
I thought you said you were leaving town. Come on, boys.
You women. Robbie, you're a man and you stand there like a lot of sheep while they walk out the floor. Why don't you stop them?
Go back where you belong.
Wherever I belong, I don't pretend.
You shut your painted
mouth. I wouldn't wait around for my man to get killed without doing something about it.
I'm warning you, Jezebel.
Wait a minute. Maybe she's right. You talk about doing something. What can we do?
I'll show you what you can do. Get every woman in town and follow me.
All right, you men, all your wagons?
Yes, sir.
All right, now we'll head down the main street, bring your horses to a gallop, and when I throw the dynamite, cut in toward the saloon, start shooting. All right, let's go. Come on. Throw that dynamite, Tom. Throw it. All right, head in, boys. Head in. Tip the wagons over. Use them as barricades.
Tom, look. Are you women crazy? Get back there.
They're marching down the street between us and the saloon.
Get back.
Hold your fire. Frenchy, hold those women back.
Keep your men out here, Tom. Then if you gotta shoot it out, at least for once it'll be face to face and on the level.
All right, you better get out of the saloon, Frenchy. We're gonna burn it down.
Yeah.
Besides, we got them all except Kent.
I saw him run upstairs. He's up there somewhere.
All right, fine. Thanks.
Tom, though. A dozen places he could be hiding.
Kent's here. I'm getting them myself. All right, I'm coming up, Kent. If your hobby's still collecting deputies' guns, here's your chance to get a couple.
You're standing in my light, Frenchy.
Johnny.
Sure, I went upstairs, but I come down again.
Tom, look out. Tom, he's down here.
Too bad, Frenchy. Just a mite too late. Frenchy, come back.
Tommy! Oh, Johnny. Not too late.
Frenchy.
Here's Johnny.
He's dead.
Had to work out like this, didn't it? Maybe it isn't make up for Wash.
But why did you save me? Why?
Paint's still on my face. Never learned how to take it off.
It's a wonderful face.
Tom, you're in love with that Tyndall girl, aren't you? You're supposed to. She minds the kiss in the spot.
Well, no, Frenchie, I don't think she'd mind at all.
Thank you, Dad.
Settle down your ranch again, huh, Eli?
Oh, sure, Tom. We've been settled now for more than 2 weeks.
Well, that's good. That's fine.
Things sure are quiet around here now.
Yeah, sure are. Yeah, you see that hitching post over there? Did you ever hear the story about Sawtooth McGee? And the...
Oh, everybody heard that one, Tom.
Yeah.
Well, I sure could make him up, couldn't he?
Sure hey,
did he ever tell you the one
Tom,
about the guy...
Tom, hurry! He's gone mad!
Well, Janice, what's the trouble?
Lilybell's husband, Callahan. Hurry, Tom, hurry.
He's in there, Tom, behind that door.
Stop him. Help. Callahan. Don't you dare. Callahan, you're crazy.
You wouldn't be crazy.
Tom, go in.
Stop him.
No, I really don't think it's necessary, Callahan. Janice. I think Callahan's just finding his
pants. Stop
it. What?
After 5 years, I finally find out why they call me Callahan. Oh, you have a husband once, huh? And his name was Callahan. Well, the old regime is over. Has come the revolution. Boris Pavrushin is now the head of his house. Come here, madam. Gay. What is your husband's name?
Well,
Speak.
Pavrushin.
See that you don't forget it. Now, how about the kiss, Lily Belsky?
Why, Boris Pavrushin.
Oh, I'm sorry. Tom, it sounded like murder, at least.
Oh, well, that's just probably the Russian way of expressing something. And, speaking of marriage, Janice.
Yes, Tom?
Oh, I had a friend once down in Texas. He'd always been so busy he never had the chance to propose to his girl. One day...
With that well-deserved applause, our thanks to Jimmy Stewart and Joan Blondell, who come to the footlights for their curtain call. And Jimmy, I hardly need say how happy we are to welcome you back to the Lux Radio Theater.
Well, thank you, Bill. I'm mighty glad you had Joan Blondell on the receiving line.
And we're happy to hear that the welcome mat is out to you too, Bill, as regular producer of the Lux Radio Theater.
Well, I'm looking forward to the job, Joan. Right now, it seems a big responsibility.
Well, I'd say you have everything it takes, Bill. You've been an actor, director, and producer. I don't know anyone in Hollywood who's better fitted for the job.
Well, thanks for the kind words, both of you. And I'm happy to see from that smooth complexion, Joan, that you've been faithful to the real producer of this theater, Lux Toilet Soap.
I've always used Lux Toilet Soap and wonderful complexion care.
What's Lux producing next week, Bill?
Next Monday night, we have a Broadway stage success that made an equally dramatic and exciting picture. It's Hunt Stromberg's psychological thriller, Guest in the House, starring Robert Young and Ann Baxter. For sheer dramatic suspense, you'd have a hard time beating this melodrama of a happy family invaded by a strange and sinister influence. A conflict building towards a startling and extraordinary climax.
Well, Guest in the House should fill the house, Bill. Congratulations.
And while we're reminding our listeners to join us, there's another important reminder for this coming week.
You mean a little matter of $11 billion, Bill, huh?
A little matter of $11 billion.
Well, it depends on how you look at it. $11 billion is a lot of money, of course. But it's little compared with the debt America owes to the men who fought and won the war.
I guess you're right, Joe, and America was never a country to welch on debt.
Of course, a lot of people may feel that with the war over, there's no need to go on buying bonds. They feel that the job is done, so the debt stops. And yet the job isn't done, for thousands of men were leaving overseas to keep the peace while we enjoy it. They're counting on us for food and shelter and supplies.
And how about the cost of bringing so many thousands of our troops home?
Well, just about the biggest, costliest transportation move in history. When we got them home, another job began. And we've been calling it rehabilitation. What it really means is that giving those men a break, give them a chance to learn a trade, get an education, everything that was promised them while they were fighting.
And, of course, some of those boys we'll never be able to repay.
No, I'm afraid not. No, we can never repay the men who died in this war, but we can see that their families are cared for. And we can see that the thousands of wounded in our hospitals will have the best medical care and the best possible chance to get back on their feet again.
You know, they're having a bomb drive in Canada, too, and with many of these same purposes in mind.
That's right, Joan. And in both countries, bombs are the safest and best investment you could find. How else in the United States can you get $4 back for $3 and guarantee your future and your country's future at the same time? You know, if everybody in our audience tonight were to buy one extra $100 war bond this week, we'd have more than a quarter of the total loan subscribed.
Well, that's quite a challenge to your audience, Bill. Or perhaps I should say quite an opportunity. Well, here's hoping with all our hearts they take it. Good night.
Night, Bill.
Good night. Come back again soon. Our sponsors, the makers of Lux Toilet Soap, join me in inviting you to be with us again next Monday evening when the Lux Radio Theater presents Robert Young and Ann Baxter in Guest in the House. This is William Keeley saying goodnight to you from Hollywood.
This week, here in Hollywood, the motion picture industry begins its little-known and little-publicized United Charities Drive. Members of the studio colony have pledged a total of more than $2 million to be distributed throughout the year to worthy causes. All this, of course, is over and above the personal appearances of stars and the donation of promotional films and other services in support of the current Victory Loan Drive. Joan Blondell can currently be seen in the 20th Century Fox production, A Tree Grows in Brooklyn. Our music was directed by Louis Silvers. This program is broadcast to our men and women overseas through cooperation with the Armed Forces Radio Service. And this is your announcer, John Milton Kennedy, reminding you to tune in again next Monday night to hear Guest in the House with Robert Young and Ann Baxter.